Welcome to HorrorFatale.com, almost live, where sarcasm goes to the movies and snark watches TV, with your hosts, the Horror Fatale and the Diva Mummy.
Welcome to HorrorFatale.com, almost live. I'm your flu-stricken host, bringing you this week's horror news, reviews, recaps, and information. And as always, I ask you guys to like, subscribe, and give us a ratings at iTunes, Stitcher, and or Google Play, or whatever platform you are listening to the cast on.
Red. I might have known it would be red.
It's pink, Mama. What Tommy gave me, Mama. Aren't they beautiful?
I can see your dirty pillows. Everyone will.
Breasts, Mama. They're called breasts. And every woman has them.
Take off that dress. We'll burn it together and pray for forgiveness.
No, Mama.
Well, he's not coming.
He is coming, Mama. Now stop it. I'm nervous enough.
No, he's not coming. He's not gonna come.
Go away! Stop it, Mama! Stop hurting yourself, Mama!
He's gonna laugh at you. They're all gonna laugh at you.
Look,
it's not too late. You can stay here with me.
I don't want to stay with you, Mama.
Look, I'll answer the door and I'll tell him that you're sick. I'll tell him that you changed your mind.
Mama, and don't say a word until I'm gone. Be home early. Love you, Mama.
I wasn't gonna play that whole thing, but you have to admit how freaking good that scene is. And if you are a horror head, and of course you are, you're listening to the podcast, you know that that was the famous "they're all gonna laugh at you" scene from the 1976 version of Carrie. Still reigning champion of Carrie. As many remakes they make, they cannot fix the perfection that was that movie. So if you might have guessed, there is Carrie news. Stephen King's Carrie to get limited series adaptation at FX. Stephen King's Carrie is getting another adaptation, this time at FX Entertainment Weekly reports. The network is in development on a limited series based on the iconic horror novel. Collider first reported the news. King's novel, of course we know, follows high school midget Carrie White, who discovers she has telekinesis powers. The most recent screen adaptation was 2013's Carrie, starring Chloe Grace Moretz. I didn't hate that version, but I didn't love it either. It was a bit pointless because there was no need for it. You know what I'm saying? It's fine to make these remakes, but give us a new point of view. Tackle them from a different way. And they tried, but it was almost not scene for scene, but it was pretty much the same thing. Regurgitated. And they did one prior to that, maybe in like 2006. I actually thought the sequel was more entertaining than that one. But anyway, let's keep pushing. Okay. Let's see. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if you guys even remember this, but there was a Carrie Broadway musical in 1988, and you should look that up. I don't even know if it's still on YouTube, but I remember seeing that a little bit, like commercials for it as a kid. I mean, they've done it to death. Anyway, as you know, it's reporting that, you know, the most famous one is the 1976 Brian De Palma's Perfection. Anyway, but okay, so okay, there are other projects also based on King's work in the pipeline, which we're also going to get to. The other in Stephen King news is Oscar winner Adrian Brody, I should say. He's going to star in a Stephen King-based gothic horror TV series, Jerusalem's Lot. Adrian Brody has found his own blood-curdling Stephen King tale to call his own. The actor, a favorite of director Wes Anderson, will star in the TV series adaptation of the author's short story, Jerusalem's Lot, for Epics. The tale was first published in King's 1978 collection, Night Shift, but it was later re-released as part of an illustrated edition of Salem's Lot, and is a prequel of sorts to King's famous vampire story. It's told through a series of letters and diary entries, mainly from Captain Charles Boone. In Jerusalem's Lot, Brody will star as Boone, who relocates his three children to Preacher's Corner, Maine, his ancestral home. Why did it say his hometown? After his wife dies at sea. Over the course of Epic's 10-episode season, the character will be forced to face his family's secrets and fight to the end of darkness that has plagued them for generations. Jason and Peter Fedeli will serve as executive producers and showrunners on Jerusalem's Lot, and it will be executive produced by Donald DeLine, who did Wayward Pines. That does not bode confidence to me. First season, okay. Second season, not so much. Let's see. The Epics guy, we don't really care. He gave a statement about how it's going to be absolutely terrifying reimagining of classic gothic horror. I don't know. I'm torn because I really like Adrian Brody. However, this can go bad. And for some reason, Stephen King on TV usually does exactly that. It goes bad. Creepshow, Shudder knocked one out of the park with Creepshow this season. Hulu has Castle Rock. I watched the first season. I was really into it the first season. The last couple of episodes lost me. I haven't even bothered to watch season two, but it's gotten pretty good reviews, so it's on the to-do list. I don't know. I'm lukewarm on actually both of these things because it's just like, I don't know what more there is to tell with Carrie. And as we've seen, I don't know, the material for some reason, and I'm not knocking Stephen King because, you know, he's a legend and iconic and all that, but for some reason, the remakes aren't holding up. I was very disappointed in It Chapter 2. But then somebody said something to me that I had forgotten. I was very disappointed in It Chapter 2 in the 90s when it first came out. The first tale with the kids is just always really, really scary and really intense and better. When they bring the adults in, it does exactly that. It falls flat. They tried to update it. It got a little ridiculous. Chapter 2, this version, I can't think of the actor that plays his name right now. You guys, again, flu. That's why I sound terrible. But, they had this scene because, it's all nostalgia based Stephen King's. That's like a lot of heart to his books or whatever, making you think about when you were a kid or whatever. And it's really when he was a kid, and he's 70 something years old. So he was a kid in the 50s, and it doesn't always translate to the current, like the whole bike scene. Now they made it updated, and those kids were supposed to be around my age in their late 30s, I think early 40s is really what they were doing with that. we rode our bikes, but we weren't, there wasn't as exciting. And, you know, during the 50s and I think the 60s probably, when our parents were little, that was a big deal, riding your bike down the street and you having a group of kids and y'all riding your bike. We weren't really doing that. We were the video game kids or whatever. We rode bikes or whatever, but mostly not. Because we were we came along with the people were snatching children up generation. So it wasn't all of that freedom and running to the lake. It might have been in small towns or whatever. I didn't grow up in a small town. I grew up in a city. But so the scenes just look ridiculous. It was so out of place where he had him going to the antique shop, you know, cameo by Stephen King, repurchasing his bike when he was a child. And it was mad rusty. I was like, Jesus, it was only 20 years. Well, anyway, but it just was an out of place moment. And I guess on paper, that came off way better than it actually did, you know, in real life. But I digress. I've gone off on a tangent. But like I was, that's your horror news. We have two Stephen King adaptations, Carrie's coming, you know, for a limited series on FX, which could, FX does pretty good. So I'm not totally just yet. But the Adrian Brody thing, it's a boring read in the PR. So I don't know how the hell they're going to squeak out 10 episodes that's going to hold our attention. But he's a pretty sufficient actor, so I'm sure he'll do what he can with what's on the page. Try for that not to be sappy, but I have to announce this is the last cast of the year of 2019, where we steadily and sufficiently, is that a word I want to use? Oh no, where we kept up with the podcast. How about that? We continued to record and we made it to a whole 100 and something listeners. But I thank all 100 and something of you guys. I haven't checked because we haven't done this in 2 weeks. I've been meaning to do it. Last week was Christmas week and I intended on recording the day before. But as you can probably hear once more, I had the flu. So I spent all day Christmas asleep. I have no idea what happened. Well, I stayed up long enough to watch my two nieces open up their Christmas gifts. And after that, me and my pillow became friends. So I have no idea what happened Christmas. I hope it was the change of climate. I am, if you've been keeping up on Twitter and on the Instagram, you guys know that me and my puppy, Kazzy, we traveled on Santa's reindeer. No, we didn't. We got on a plane and we flew from Los Angeles to Birmingham. So it might have been a climate change. It might have been a plane. We don't know. But nonetheless, I wound up with the flu and taking antibiotics and drinking. I have this lovely tea that I'm going to take with me back to LA. It has licorice root and marshmallow root in it. But I don't know. It's helping my throat be better. So I'm drinking it and trying not to cough throughout this. So to end the year, we did a post on horrorfatale.com, which listed our picks of the best horror movies of the season. I decided to try something a little less negative than usually. I usually call it the good, the bad, and the ugly. But I'm doing something different because Michael Flanagan, I hope that's who said this. But Mike Flanagan, who, as we know, directed Dr. Sleep, he reacted to a I'm not going to name the large publication that published their worst movies of the year. And he said something really, you know, poignant, I'll say. You know, it's pointless to be negative because just because you didn't like it doesn't mean it was shit work, right? So I thought about that. And so the movies that aren't on my list, and I think I watched about 50 horror movies this year, and that includes, you know, the big budget ones as well as the smaller budget ones, as well as the directed DVD ones that I get screeners for. If you didn't make the list, that's sufficient enough to tell you, you know, that you kind of sucked, you know, and sorry. And I can do that without doing it publicly and just breaking you over the coals for fun. And I get what he's saying. Point taken, director Mike Flanagan. So I did something different. And I just kind of mentioned, you know, movies that I found entertaining and I liked them. I got to admit, though, as I state in the beginning of the blog post, you know, this year should have been like a knock them out of the ballpark. There should have been nothing but just hits out of the park, just 5 stars left and right, because this is the end of the decade. This is it. This is it for the tens of the 20s. You know, we're going into 2020, a whole nother decade. And I would have thought you guys would have ended it on a high note. And like I said, there were some bright spots, but they were far in between. And I have found that the bright spots came from the horror comedies. We're not asking you to reinvent the wheel, you know what I'm saying? But I watched a documentary which made the list, In Search of Darkness, that was an exploration of 80s horror. And I hate to be one of those people, but I'm really beginning to think that horror might have peaked in the late 70s and in the 80s. And even in the 90s, because we had Candyman and some other movies to come out of that. But we haven't, we've yet to have the great horror villain, you know? it's a fucked up mess that Victor Salvo is a fucking douche. That's not even a word. That he's just a horrible person that shouldn't, I don't know. I don't even want to he's gross, right? But The Creeper was actually a pretty good horror villain, right? Until I had no idea who this man was until I found out who he was, and that shit's ruined. So we've yet to have a good new villain. You know, Freddy and Jason and Michael, those are it. And we're having to rehash and redo all those movies to keep the horror villain going. We don't have one. I have to even use Candyman. That's it. You know, Candyman's getting his remake because, again, that's what we're doing. We have to rehash those old horror legends because we don't have any new ones that came on the scene. Come on, guys. There's got to be somebody out there somewhere that can write the next great horror villain. We didn't do it in this decade. How about the 20s? But the movies that I liked and that blew up my skirt were definitely the horror comedies. They were entertaining. And again, I'm not, you know, I become a snob a little bit, but still. And don't get me wrong, the whole decade wasn't trash. There were some highlights, like the very first Happy Death Day was awesome. That sequel, that was not it. You hear me? That was not it. the first It chapter, awesome. You know, there were some highlights, I'll say that. But once again, this year, TV and the digital platforms brought the pain. They brought the good horror movies. And it's sad. You know, you have this studio money, and I just refuse to believe that Hollywood cannot. Is it that you guys don't care about our genre? ask Blumhouse. Blumhouse, you know, they've had some pretty good success this decade. I have to admit, y'all didn't end on a good note either, putting that Black Christmas remake out there. Ooh. Ooh. But if you go back to my previous podcast where I did Black Christmas versus Black Christmas, I told you, I knew that they were going to overcorrect it. And I'm a fourth wave feminist. I support Me Too. But that movie, that was not it. That was not it at all. And I'm not gonna even take it out back and shoot it. It was just bad. That was some garbage. That was some garbage. And I'm a huge supporter of Blumhouse, but y'all were wrong for that. And you know, things like that. We ended the decade with Black Christmas. For real? No. Anyway, but let's push through one more time. I'm on a brand new mic. I hope this is recording clear enough and loud enough. But again, we're going to push through. Let's see. It kind of, like I said, was the year of the horror comedy and the documentary, because there are two that were great that I mentioned on the list. We're going to talk about them briefly. We're going to talk about the list briefly because, one more time, guys, I don't feel good. So I'm going to be ready to lay it down in a second. Anyway, this year in horror, 2019, the serious horror to me was boring, it was dry, it was unentertaining, and just downright pointless. But let's start with the good. The good, of course, and probably making everybody's list, is Us. And you know, a lot of people will say that it wasn't scary, or whatever. And no, in the terms of if you're a whorehead, no, it wasn't scary. But I think the point of most of Jordan Peele's horror movies is for you to get messages, for you to get points. There's always a larger point that he's trying to make. And it was very Jekyll and Hyde. It was very light and dark. And I got it. You know what I'm saying? There is a flip side to All of Us. It's kind of bad. And that movie kind of shines a light on it or whatever. Was it perfect? No. But neither was Get Out. Also a really good film. You know, doppelgangers, the idea, the concept of doppelgangers is creepy. So I'm sure, like I said, it made everybody's list. It made mine, so, you know, there's that. Another high point was Ready or Not, which was a comedy, a horror, and a mystery. It came out in August, and if you haven't seen it, check out the trailer at horrorfatale.com while you're checking out the list. And it was a bride's wedding night. It takes a sinister turn when her eccentric new in-laws force her to take part in a terrifying game. And it starts Samara Weaving. And Adam Brody, and there's a couple of other recognizable people in it. I really like this movie. It is entertaining as hell. Samara did a wonderful job where you were pulling for her. You wanted her to survive it, which is always you want, and she becomes the final girl. And she does it with her yellow Chuck Taylors. So high fives on that. If you haven't seen it, I said check it out. It is on DVD now. And it's still, if you live in Los Angeles, it's still playing. If you live in Los Angeles, every fucking thing is still playing in the movie theaters. It takes us forever to take shit out of the movie theaters. But anyway, that made my list. In Search of Darkness, which is came out in October 13th. And it's a documentary, a horror documentary. And it's an exploration of 80s horrors through the perspective of actors, directors, producers, the special effects craftspeople who made them, and their impact on the contemporary cinema. It had everybody in it. Andre Gower from Monster Squad's all grown up, and he was in it. It had Tom Atkins. It had, oh God, Winkum, Ninkum, and Nod. It just had everybody who's anybody is in that film that, you know, that was a part of the 80s that brought us, you know, the wonderful Reanimator, Child's Play. Greg Nataro's in it. I don't think Mark, you know, he wasn't in it. He should have been in it, but he might have been busy. Tom Savini's not in it, but he's mentioned for his wonderful makeup that we all know. They start in literally 1980 and go all the way to 1989. And it, Chopping Mall's mentioned. Did they even, I don't know if I think they mentioned Chud. I mean, it's just everything. And I can't even tell you. It's one of the most comprehensive documentaries on 8 Hour you ever see. Now, it's 4 hours and 20 minutes long. However, if you grew up in the 80s and the 90s like I did, and you were a little kid, you know, under the covers watching this stuff that you weren't supposed to be watching, you will thoroughly enjoy it. And it will remind you of horror movies that you forgot. And I keep bringing up Chopping Mall because I actually watched Chopping Mall like 3 times since I watched this documentary. Because I have forgotten how fucking much I love that damn movie. But anyway, it makes the list as well. Another documentary, The Horror Noir, A History of Black Horror. Also, it came out during Black History Month, February 7th. And it premiered on Shudder. And it's 1 hour and 23 minutes. And it's a look at the history of black horror films and the role of African Americans in the film genre from the very beginning. It was also really good. You get to see Tony Todd, Jordan Peele appears. They talk about Candyman. They talk to, what's her name? God, I can't think of her name right now. I follow her on Twitter too, and I should remember her name. The girl from The Craft. they talk to Kincaid. Ken Watt, I think his name is Ken. Yeah. They talk to Kincaid. They talk to David Keith, you know. They talk about Candyman. They talk about Tales from the Hood. They even mention Leprechaun from the Hood, which I actually liked at the time, I have to admit. So it gives a point of view from, you know, black people, we're always the first to die in the mainstream, you know, white horror movies. And then you have, you know, well, we started making our own, like Tales of the Hood and, you know, Candyman. Even Snoop had something that was kind of cool that came out, and I can't even think of the name of it. But horror movies, black people are usually horror fans. I don't know why that is. But the movie, the documentary kind of explores that for just a little bit. But it also just tells you the changing roles as we went on. And you know, as you go out through history of black people in that genre. It's a great little documentary to check out if you have Shudder. Again, remember, trials, and watch that and check out Creepshow as well. Another one that I picked as entertaining to me was Corporate Animals, and it came out September 20th, and it's a comedy horror that stars Demi Moore, Ed Humes, and Jessica Williams. And it's the CEO, Lucy, is Demi Moore, takes her staff on a corporate team building in some underground desert caves in New Mexico. They get stuck there. And boy, do they. It is hilarious. To me, I laughed. You will too, I think. And it ends, you know, in the middle where there's some, you know, a little bit of cannibalism. But, you know, they're trapped in the cave. What are you going to do? It takes a turn. And it ends kind of poetically, if you will. So those were the goods, right? Those brought the goods to me. Then we have the entertaining yet cliche category. And I'm not going to go through these just, you know, as much as I did the other ones. But I will mention Zombieland, Double Tap. good, entertaining. I don't know if I was as moved as I was with the original. It was okay. You know, it entertained me. I got a chuckle here and there. You know, there's some kills. You know, okay. Am I interested in another one? No. I think they're done. At least they should be. Yeah. The second one on the list, believe it or not, is a smaller one. And it's Crawl. And I usually like a man versus, you know, nature kind of horror movie anyway. And this one doesn't disappoint. It came out in July and it's action drama horror. And it's a young woman while attempting to save her father during a category 5 hurricane, finds herself trapped in a flooding house and must fight her life against alligators. Now, you have to suspend much any knowledge you have of science or physics of a lot of things. But she does pretty well for what's on the page. You can tell it wasn't given a huge budget because some of the scenes don't look as good as they would have looked if this had been a huge studio movie. And it kind of makes the charm. And the reason why I call it cliched, because in the end, she wins. She's the final girl. Sounds a little cliched, but I don't think you'll, if you watch it, like I said, in suspend disbelief and just for sure entertainment, it'll hit the spot. Another contender came from one of the streaming services that I had the pleasure. Yes, I had the pleasure of seeing it for free through a screener from Hulu. But that happens, guys. That happens. I get screeners. Anyway, but it has no bearing on my picking it. It's called Little Monsters. And it's a comedy horror. And it came out in October from Hulu, and it's a washed-up musician teams up with a teacher and kids to show your kids show personality to protect young children from a sudden outbreak of zombies. For some reason, in this film, they decided it was a good idea to put a biochemical plant, not a biochemical plant, but a government biochemical lab next door to a petting zoo. So hijinks ensue and everybody winds up being zombies, but you have Lupita Nyong'o, who is she becoming a horror a scream queen? Is that what you're doing on the sly, Lupita, and you don't want us to know? Anyway, she's a kindergarten teacher and she has all these delightful little kindergartners whom she manages to turn it all into a game. You know, kind of keep away from the snarling zombies, and not a hair on any of those kids' heads was harmed. And she does it with a little song and a ukulele. It's really cute and adorable, and even my cold dead heart loved it. I really did like it. I was entertained, and you'll have a kiki moment here and there. Josh Gad's kind of funny in it, and the Alexander England guy, I hadn't seen him before, but he's funny as well as the washed out musician, uncle of one of the kids that, you know, falls for Lupita and decides to volunteer and go to the petting zoo with them when all hell breaks out. And that, again, is streaming on Hulu. Now, the time for the pretentious. I watch these movies because they told us we should. I'm just going to be really honest with you. And they were pretentious as hell to me. Beautifully shot, both of them. They were breathtaking. They were gorgeous. I just don't know why they exist. One was The Lighthouse, which came out in November. And it's listed as a drama fantasy horror. It's two lighthouse keepers try to maintain their sanity while living on a remote and mysterious New England island in the 1890s. It stars Willem Dafoe and Robert Pattinson. I was just impressed by the fact that Robert Pattinson is a really good actor, you guys. I'm just going to say it. I never watched a single Twilight Sparkle vampire movie because I thought all that shit was some bullshit. So I never watched those movies. I hated those movies. I thought they were stupid as hell. So I just kind of went from there. That's who I thought he was. I only started paying attention to him, honestly, because he started dating FK's Twigs. I don't know if you guys know. She's, like, really cool. So I'm like, if she's dating him, he must not be as lame as I think he is. So I started to notice he's a pretty good actor. And he held his own with Willem Dafoe. Did I go to sleep during this movie? Abso-fucking-lutely. But madness and insanity is always horrifying. So if you have time or you need a nap, check it out. Pretentious as hell, but okay. It was good. They're good for what it is. The next one is Midsommar that everybody was talking about. And it came out July 3rd. And it's listed as a drama, horror, and a mystery. A couple travels to Sweden to visit a royal hometown's fabled Midsommar Festival. What begins as an idyllic retreat quickly devolves into an increasingly violent and bizarre competition at the hands of a pagan cult. This is Wicker Man new. it's all it was. It's gorgeous. Some of the prettiest shots you will ever see. The colors that the cinematographer used, gorgeous. Just gorgeous. It stars Florence Pugh, who's in everything right now. You're getting ready to watch her in Black Widow as Scarlett Jo's sister. She's coming up. I think they're making fun of her right now. She had to clap back because she's dating Zach Braff, who's like my age and dating this young woman. But, you know, if she loves it, who are we to say? Anyway, aside from being really beautiful, there are some disturbing kills. It ends disturbingly. it's also one that you should check out. It's really long as well. I did go to sleep on this one too. But I finished it. So, you know, again, watched it because they told us that we had to. But it's not a bad movie. It's just me. I don't like these art house movies. I just don't. But, you know, okay. Carry on if you must. The next one is The Dead Don't Die. Excuse me. It's listed as a comedy, fantasy, and horror. And it came out in June. And the peaceful town of Centerville finds itself battling a zombie horde as the dead start rising from their graves. It had Bill Murray, Adam Driver, and Tom Waits. I was very disappointed in this movie. It still made my list. It's worth a watch. It was meta for meta's sake, which I really liked. I did feel like it was a Wes Anderson movie, but it's not. It's directed by Jim Jarmusch, and you know, they even wink at you with the music playing on the radio. With, you know, they look at the camera a lot, and they, you know, they break the fourth wall a lot. And I don't know, for some reason it might have been overkill for me. Pun intended, zombies overkill, get it? See what I did there? Anyway, it made my list. It's worth a watch. You know, Bill Murray's always Bill Murray. You know, Adam Driver is, you know, really good as well. So, that's it. And my honorable mentions for, you know, watch them if you can. If you have the HBO or the Shudder or Hulu or Amazon Prime, whatever you have platform. And it's Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, which is based on the book that we loved as kids by the same name. It's horror, mystery, thriller. It came out in August, and on Halloween 1968, reclusive Stella and her two friends meet a mysterious drifter, Ramon, and uncover a sinister notebook of stories. It basically does that. It brings the characters from those stories from that book to life. And it actually turned out better than I thought. I was really worried. I really, really was. I was like, they're going to fuck this up. They did not. Even though it's a PG-13, it was actually pretty good. It was pretty good. And it's one that I can watch with my niece, who is going to be 13 soon. So that's not bad. The next one is going to surprise y'all. It's going to throw you. But I don't know if it was because I was feeling generous when I watched this or what. But it is Don't Let Go. I know. Drama horror mystery came out on August 30th. After a man's family dies in what appears to be a murder, he gets a phone call from one of the dead, his niece. He's not sure if she's a ghost or if he's going mad, but it turns out he's not. It stars David Aiello, Alfred Molina, Brian Tyree Henry, and I think her name is Reed Storm, little girl. She's going to be good, guys. She's going to be good. She's bringing it. She's doing really well in all the films that I've seen her in to be a child. She's doing really well. So there's some talent there. So let's watch Miss Reed. But I don't know whether it's because I'm really close to my niece and I could not imagine. And so he's on this journey to turn the course back and to save her. And to me, I don't know. I like the story of that. I thought it was kind of a good concept, you know? You know, he's getting phone calls from a ghost. So it's like it's a little time flexing going on and everything. I liked it. Was it perfect? No. Could it have been better? Absolutely. But I think they did well for what they had. I don't know the budget or the studio money that was around it. But David Aiello is a really good actor, as is Alfred Molina. And Makaite Williams is also really good because he's in it as well. And I thought it was a pretty good movie. I don't know why it managed to piss off as many people as it did. It has a really low rating on IMDb. Which I'm going to start ignoring IMDb because I'm finding that the people are just kind of hateful, man. You know, they're kind of hateful and a little bit racist, I say. But that is my list. This Year in Horror, 2019, according to HorrorFatale.com. Now, like I said, I watched everything and their mama this year. But You know, Pet Cemetery, Ma, Brightburn, The Hole in the Ground, Happy Death Day to You, The Curse of the La Renora, Velvet Budsaw, Annabelle Come Home, Child's Play Remake, The Dead Don't Die, Crawl, The Perfection, Horror Noir, Little Monsters, The Prodigy, Escape Room, Polaroid, In the Tall Grass, It Chapter 2, Replace Hellboy, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, Midsummer, The Lighthouse, Wounds, Holiday Hell, Portal, Dr. Sleep, Homes for Rent, Jacob's Ladder Remake, Mary, The Haunting of Sharon Tate, Don't Let Go, The Fanatic, Black Christmas 2019, Corporate Animals, Ready or Not, The Gallows, Act 2, In Fabric, The Girl on the Third Floor, Countdown, and Zombieland Double Tap. So, I don't, that exhaustive list, that's all I found. Those movies are only ones to me that were entertaining and, you know, worth your time. I don't know. I shouldn't say that. That's a little strong. Dr. Sleep, again, gorgeous. One of the most gorgeous movies that you'll see this season. It just wasn't scary. I have a full review at HorrorFatale.com about it. And I did a podcast explaining why it didn't do as well as it should have done. Black Christmas, again, that was not it. I don't know what the hell Blumhouse was thinking. The first Gallows was way better than the Act 2. They should have just left it alone. In Fabric confused me, and I couldn't figure out whether I was supposed to laugh or I didn't know what the hell was going on through most of it. Jacob's Ladder was perfectly fine until I went and watched the original. Killed it for me. Didn't make it good anymore. In Tall Grass, again, it's a Stephen King adaptation. It came to Netflix. Was really excited about it. The concept was really good. Movie did not deliver. It was weird and crazy in the end. The Prodigy, children are usually scary. This movie was not. Brightburn, almost made the list as being pretty good, but I have problems with the ending. Pet Cemetery could have stayed where it was. We didn't need it. They basically did a shot for shot almost. No. Happy Death Day to you. Nope. The Hole in the Ground. Went to sleep on it. Did not go back and watch it. let's see. Annabelle Comes Home. No, that wasn't it. Big fan of that whole Insidious Annabelle universe. But this wasn't it. There was some weirdness with some werewolves that showed up. I have no idea what the hell that was. I think I mentioned that in one of the podcasts. I have no idea where the hell it came from. Velvet Buzzsaw almost got an honorable mention. It's pretty good. You should check that out. It's on Netflix. It's Jake Gyllenhaal and some more folks. Can't think of their names right now. I remember being entertained by it, but not enough where it held my a view all year where it made the list. So, you guys, this is it. I went 45 minutes when I only intended to go 30. My voice came back a little bit with my tea drinking. So, this is the end. This is the last podcast of the 2019s. I had a really good year with you guys, I gotta admit, and I wanna thank you for, you know, sticking with me and figuring it out still. It's gonna get even better, hopefully. But, you know, our numbers are moving in the right direction and I appreciate it. So I ask you guys to listen, continue to listen, and like I said, give us a rating on there on whatever platform you're listening to. And I ask you to follow me on Instagram at Horror Fatale and at Twitter at Horror Fatale. Oh, I'm sorry. At Instagram at The Horror Fatale and on Twitter at Horror Fatale. Cough medicine here. I gotta go to sleep, guys. Cheers. Happy New Year, guys. And see you in 2020.
Livingo no Yi Mata.
Shishlivego Novego Roku.
Стресана година.
Гине,
Йелена,
Куцло, Олсон.
С Новым Роком.
Не, само боре.
Три, две, едно. Честита нова година.
Сретна нова година.
Кали храня.
Два от работа.
Happy New Year.
Холюка Нью Йор.
Шана хадаша смеха. Сонот.
Саламат тахун бару.
Счастни на бирок.
Гад ниро.
Хеа до достат.
Frohes neues Jahr. Kurva.
Bonne année 2019.
Malega yang bagong taon.
God new dawn.
Sretna nova godina.
Boldo guivet.
Kurva. Szczęśliwego nowego roku.
Like a new year and a super tough 2019.
Feliz ano novo.
Жена женилась бен.
Feliz ano novo.
Vai meio ano no agado.
Hey, babu. Nova godina dolazi.
Heo du tastat.
Happy putan de dina nan valtkal.
Gazuar vitneri.
Vrei sa vech tare numa numa yei. Numa numa yei. Numa 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 yei. Ki putau si dragostea ditei. Ano fericit tuturor.
Kali hronia.
Suomi perkele, hyvää uutta vuotta.
Szczęśliwego nowego roku.
To jest życie w Polsce. Nie jesteś bezpieczny.
Счастливого Нового года!
Chalukas New Year!
Sreczna Nowa Godina!
Szubne lata!